Going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 2. If you want to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, the first three verses. The first three verses. The song we just sang, Walking with Jesus, is pretty much what the first verse of our lesson says here. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we hear. Back in James chapter, I'm not sure which chapter, we can listen to testimonies of others, and we can marvel at the work God is doing in their lives. We can listen to great preaching. We might feel inspired to follow God more diligently. But we have to be careful when we walk out of church that we have trouble finding time or making an effort to follow through. James talks about being Christians who look in a mirror but do nothing to fix what is wrong. We need to fix it. We need to do, not just hear. So we need to pay more earnest. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let us kneel for prayer.
Greet each one in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we'd like to look at the question, what's so good about the good news? We talk about the good news. We talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We call it good. What's so good about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? As I thought about that question, I thought, as I often do, I sure could use a little good news. Sometimes the troubles and the struggles in life seem to pile up. We're bombarded, we're overwhelmed with hard times and discouragement and trials. We know of loved ones that are sick. We know of families that are struggling. We know of broken homes and people hurting. We know of our brothers and sisters of our own number confined to nursing homes, and they're lonely. We hear a lot of discouraging and bad news. When we listen to the news and read the paper, we hear terrible things. Terrible things we're hearing now about the abortion issue, about sin in the world, about persecution, and everything seems to pile up. Our prayer list gets longer and longer. And I think I sure could use a little good news. As I thought about that, I thought of a song. I don't know if it was a pop song or a country song. It was back in the 80s. Many of you wouldn't remember it. But it was called A Little Good News. It was sung by a Canadian singer called Anne Murray in the early 80s. I want you to listen to the words to this song. I rolled out this morning, the kids had the morning news show on. Bryant Gumbel was a news broadcaster at the time. Bryant Gumbel was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about a bad economy. It's going to get worse, you see. We need to change the policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad stories, one more than I can stand. Just once I'd like to see the headlines say, not much to print today, can't find nothing bad to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store in the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good news today. I'll come home this evening. I'll bet the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage. Somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchorman talk about a county fair, how we cleaned up the air, how everyone learned to care. Tell me that no one was assassinated in the whole third world today, and in the streets of Ireland all the children had to do was play. And everyone loves everybody in the good old USA. We sure could use a little good news today. A lot of things impress me about that song. It voices my heart at times. I sure could use a little good news today. The other thing that impressed me is how, almost 40 years later, it's the same. It's the same. The one thing that didn't impress me is that the author looked for the good news to be found in county fairs, saving the world from pollution, people learning to care, a better society. You see, in all that, there is no actual long-lasting good news. They looked for it 40 years ago, and here we are 40 years later, and those things only bring temporal good news. The only truly good news that we have that lasts is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only answer for the world today. If you're here this morning and you've never considered the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I urge you to think about it. It's the best decision you'll ever make. It's the best news the world had ever heard. If you're here this morning as a believer, won't you think about the good news of Jesus Christ? It will encourage you. It will strengthen you. The hymn writer says, "When all around my world my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." When all the props are kicked out from underneath you, won't you consider the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The word gospel means good news. In ancient pagan culture, the word gospel was often used to announce the victory of the battle. A messenger would come to a commander or a king and carry the gospel, the good news that a victory's been won, the battle's been hard fought, and the victory's been won. We're all familiar with those kind of pictures after the end of the Second World War, when the good news came of victory and people poured out in the streets in a joyous celebration. The good news of victory, the battle has been won. In the Old Testament, the word gospel, especially in the book of Isaiah, is often used to express the good news of God's deliverance. God's people were in bondage. They were in slavery. They were under dominion of a pagan culture. And the good news of Isaiah in the Old Testament is that of deliverance, that God has delivered and will deliver them. The gospel, the good news for us to consider this morning, is that God has made a plan of salvation, a way for you to be reconciled, made right with God, a way to be restored, a way to heal a broken relationship that was broken by sin. The great news for you this morning is that Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, has come to earth. He suffered. He was killed. He was sacrificed for your sin, for my sin. He paid the price for your sins. He incurred the wrath of God for your sins. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. And he lives today in triumph over sin and over death and the grave. And he lives. And you can live also. You can live also. Restored, renewed, made perfect because of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you can escape the punishment for your sins and live eternally restored in fellowship to God. Isn't that good news for you this morning? good news. It should thrill your soul this morning. The gospel message has been sent to us, and it's one of victory. It's one of victory. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave. They've been defeated. We've been set free from bondage and slavery. If that isn't great news for you this morning, I don't know what is. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 3. I think this portion of Scripture is one of the best that describes the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel. Titus chapter 3. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. It's the good news. We once were in sin, but because of the love of God, our Savior appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's good news. In the midst of all the bad news in your life that you hear about, there's good news. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul speaks of himself being separated unto the gospel, being separated unto the good news of Jesus Christ. It means that it's his focus, it's his driving force, it's what motivates him in life, the good news of the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it's called a glorious gospel. In Revelations, it's called the everlasting gospel. And in this morning's passage that was read, it was called a great salvation. A great salvation. This morning, I'd like you to think about just what is so good about the good news. And we have 3 points that I'd like to point out to you this morning. 3 points about what is so good about the good news. Point number one, the good news of the gospel reveals God to us. The gospel shows us who God is. The gospel points to many attributes of God. It's a way for you to become more intimate, have more knowledge about him. Consider a few this morning. The gospel reveals God's power. God's amazing power. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel reveals God's power. Romans chapter 1, 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of God to save us, the power of God to change us. And the same God that spoke the world into existence, the same God that formed man and breathed the breath of life into him, the same omnipotent, all-powerful God has the power to change you. The power to take a sinful man and cleanse him and make him perfect. It's a power that no one else has. You can go to doctors. You can go to psychiatrists, psychologists. You can go to counselors. You can go to any man. But no man has the power to change you, to take you from a sinful state and make you perfect. Only the awesome power of God can do it. And it's revealed to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel reveals God's righteousness to you. If you read on there in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says about the gospel, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In the gospel message, we see a perfect, a righteous, a holy God. We see a sin that separates us from this righteous God. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel message. The gospel message reveals the love of God. The love of God. In the verse that you've memorized since a child, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." The overwhelming love of God for you is revealed in the gospel message. And the list can go on. The gospel message, the good news, in it we see God's faithfulness, his mercy, his sovereignty, his goodness, his justice, his grace, his eternality. All the attributes of God, who God is wrapped up in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Won't you study the good news and get a better understanding of who God is? Point number one, what's so good about the good news? It reveals who God is to us. Point number two, what's so good about the good news? In the good news, we see God's plan for salvation. The plan of salvation is revealed to us. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ we are saved. We are saved. We are spared the punishment for our sins. And we are reconciled to God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. In John 2:2, it tells us, "Through the goodness of the gospel, Jesus Christ became our propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins." We are not held accountable. We do not have to pay for our sins. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It's speaking here of God. "God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we learn the truth about Jesus, about how he abolished death and brought us to life and immortality. And it's all explained in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Verse 21. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where am I, Paul, am made a minister. The good news of the gospel is that you can be made holy, unblameable, unreprovable in the sight of God. It's in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have one more for you to look up. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. The good news of the gospel is that you have a living hope, something you can trust in, something you can believe in. You have a living hope and assurance of an inheritance that it's incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away, that's reserved to you for you in heaven. What's so good about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it reveals God's plan of salvation to you. How to be reconciled to God. The third point to consider as you think about what is the good news, what is so good about the good news is that the gospel has the power to change mankind. You see, the good news is not just something that will happen. It's just not someday you will go to heaven. That's part of it. Someday you'll be reconciled to God. The good news is that it's now. It's now. The gospel, the good news, has the power to change you now. Think about it. Of all the ways the good news can change mankind now, first one that comes to my mind is that we were changed. We were once an enemy of God, but now what are we? We're sons of God. We're heirs. We're joint heirs. Isn't that a miracle? We were once an enemy of God, but because of the gospel, we're sons of God. Romans 5:10 says, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." 1 John 3 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a miracle. In the good news, you can be changed from an enemy of God to a son of God. Second thing I thought about is I thought about change. We can be changed from a life filled with fear and turmoil and restlessness to a life filled with peace because of the good news. All around is shifting sand, and it's easy to worry. I fall into that trap all the time, but it need not be. It need not be. Romans 10:15 says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The gospel of peace. Not only peace with God, that's a big part of it, but peace here on earth. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, though all the world gives way and everything that bad can happen, you can have peace because of the good news of Jesus Christ. You can have a calm trust. You can have an assurance. You can have rest in the midst of your trials. You can be changed from a fearful person to one with trust and rest and peace because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of the world would like to have the peace that only Jesus can give, but they won't submit to him. The peace that Jesus can give is available to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. Always a bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might also be manifest in our body." John 16:33, "These things that I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulations, you will have troubles. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Good news that you can have today through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The third change that's available for you today is you can be changed from a blind man to one with sight through the good news of the gospel. Paul describes his conversion to King Agrippa, and this is what he said. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister of witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering from the people and from the Gentiles whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me." In the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the good news, you're able to be changed from a blind man to one that can see. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we're told over and over again in Scripture, is truth. Is truth. The gospel changes us. We're able to recognize truth. We're able to understand truth. We're able to discern truth. Gone is the darkness. Our eyes are open and we can see. As you hear the news in the world, do you ever wonder why people think the way they do? You shake your head and you think, how can it be? How can it be? When you talk to people at work, do you scratch your head and wonder how they can be directly opposite what you think, 180 degrees different than the way you think? The view of the world and of life, it's not because the people are dumb. Some of the most educated people in the world are blind. It's not because they're dumb or stupid, it's because they're blind. It's because they're blind. They're living in darkness. They're in need of the light. They need to have the light turned on. They're in need of the gospel. And the light and truth is only available through the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fourth change that the good news brings you now is your relationship with others. Think how it changed when you accepted Jesus Christ. Your relationship with others changed. Your view of your enemies changed. At one time you hated your enemies, but now you pray for them. You love them. Your enemies move to the top of your prayer list. Matthew 5 says, "You had heard it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Our relationship with brothers and sisters in the church changes because of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We put aside our differences and rally behind our faith in Jesus Christ. It's what unites us. We have one goal. We have one mission. We have one marching order, and that's the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your light shine forth," it says, "as becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." The good news is that it changes our relationship. It changes our relationship. The good news of the gospel changes mankind today. It can change you today. This morning we looked at three reasons the good news is really good news. We looked at it reveals God to us, his attributes. We can become intimate with him. We can get to know God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ reveals the plan of salvation. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to change you today. Today. I trust that it's been a blessing and encouragement and a reminder to you just how blessed we are as believers in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2, as was read in the opening, the good news is called our great salvation. It really is a great salvation, isn't it? It's great because it was given to us by a great God that loves us. It's great because we are saved by a great Savior, Jesus Christ. It's great because we were redeemed. We were bought by a very great price. It's great because we are spared a great punishment and penalty for our sins. And it's great because we are promised a great inheritance. What's so good about the good news of Jesus Christ? It is Jesus himself. It's what makes the good news good. We can hear news from all around the world, but what makes the good news good is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Won't you put your trust in him today? Go forward, recognizing Jesus Christ as the good news for your life. God bless you.
What's so good about the good news? The Spirit of Bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely. What's so good about the good news? It's free. It's not free to the first 500 people. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. Not only is it free, it doesn't cost us anything. It costs Jesus everything. But there's enough for everyone. Let's stand as we pray.